All right, here we go. Let's get going. Good to see you all here tonight. So take your prayer sheets. I want to go ahead and get right to things tonight. I believe summer has arrived on this 1st of July. I went over to Jeff and Audrey's house just for church, checked on them, and the gauge in my car said it was 94. But I tell you, it felt like it was 194 when I got in there. But I am a cold weather guy. I cannot take this heat. I cannot stand this heat. Got a few announcements for you. There's going to be a couple of baby showers. Well, one baby shower. Okay, let me. Yeah, one baby shower and one wedding shower coming up. So Sean, when are they again? Okay, so July 25th is the baby shower, 2 to 3:30. Okay, and registered where? Target and Amazon. That is for the babies. Okay, and then the bridal shower is August 8th, same time. Are y'all registered anywhere yet? Okay, you'll work on that. Well, you know, you do want stuff. Okay, all right. So work on that if you would. That way we can announce it. All right. Let me also give you some upcoming studies that we're going to begin within the next few weeks. We'll be finishing up Ezekiel not this Sunday, but the following Sunday we'll be finishing up with Ezekiel. So then the following Sunday after that, we're going to start a study of the book of James. And it's going to be entitled Genuine Faith. Is your faith for real? And so I'm excited about that. James is one of my... as much as I admire Luther, okay, James was Luther's least favorite. He called it the straw of the New Testament. But when you look at the life of Luther and that how he was saved out of Roman Catholicism, you can understand why. Because James emphasized works. But he never said that salvation was by works. He said, "But I will prove you my faith by my works." Okay? So we're going to be looking at that starting up here in a couple of weeks. And then on Wednesday, I'm not sure, we've got one more study in Galatians, and then after that, so that'll be in 2 weeks, we're going to start a study called Pneumatology, which is the study of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, okay, of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the least understood, but also the one that is the most abused. And one thing that that is very wrong with the charismatic movement is they have it in reverse. They emphasize the Holy Spirit, then Jesus, then God. Well, biblical doctrine, biblical theology is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But since the Holy Spirit is the least known of the Trinity, it's also the least studied of the Trinity and the work of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to start that up. And then we'll be finishing up with Philippians probably in the next, I'm thinking probably the end of July. So then right about time of 1st of August, we're going to start 1st and 2nd Timothy. We're going to go back to back with 1st and 2nd Timothy. And the title of that study is going to be entitled, To Stay Faithful. Stay Faithful. It was the last two books that the Apostle Paul wrote, was 1st and 2nd Timothy. And he wrote it to his son in the ministry of a young Timothy, of how to be faithful in the ministry. So a lot of people will say, why are you preaching 1st and 2nd Timothy to us? Because it was written to a preacher. Well, if you are a Christian, you are called to ministry. You're called to ministry. And there is a lot of qualifications in there of what a pastor is to be, what a deacon is to be, how the Christian is to live. So there is a whole lot of information in 1 and 2 Timothy that we'll be looking at in the coming months. All right. And then, of course, this upcoming weekend is 4th of July. And so have a great Independence Day weekend. And but we'll be back Sunday morning for Sunday school Sunday night, or Sunday school and Sunday morning, but nothing Sunday night. Now, if you want to come here Sunday night, that's fine. You'll just be by yourself. And the church doors will be locked, so you'll just have to sit out in the parking lot and bake. All right? Cook. Yeah, that's right. Have your own service. Okay? But hope you have a great 4th. If you're traveling, be safe. We've got several that are traveling. So let's, as we pray tonight, let's remember them in our prayers. So let's look at our prayer sheet tonight. And got a few little updates for you. And continue to pray for church needs. Continue to pray for spiritual, numerical, and financial growth, and for people to be saved, people to grow in their sanctification, and people to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. So this upcoming Sunday, Joel is going to be following the Lord in believers' baptism this upcoming Sunday, provided there's not another fire nearby that keeps him from getting here. But hopefully that won't happen. But anyway, we're going to have a baptism this Sunday, and I'm excited about that. Going to be our first baptism of the year of 2020, so I'm excited about that. Continue to keep in mind our theme for this year of striving together, of standing fast in one spirit and striving together for the faith of the gospel. And as always, pray for your leadership. Pray for me and Pastor Ken and Chris as our deacon, but also pray for Aaron as our treasurer and Faye as our clerk, and Kim Bozeman has stepped in and taken over for Joyce with our finances. And we're going to be having a business meeting within the month. I think I have it listed on the 26th. So let me throw this out while we're talking about business meeting. Usually two things that happen at church business meetings, and they're for members only, is we talk about finances, and we also vote on new members to come into the church during that business meeting. So if you're an attender and you have a desire to become a member, I will let you know, but I'm thinking not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, of having a luncheon here after the morning service. For anyone that wishes to ask about becoming a member, what are the requirements to become a member? What does it take to become a member? What do you expect as a member expect out of me to be your pastor? But also, what do I expect as a pastor for you to be a member? You know, it's as I tell people that are premarital counseling, I say, look, it's 100-100. It's not 50-50. It's 100-100. Well, you know, that's the way it works in churches, too. It's 100% on the pastor, but it's also 100% effort on the members as well. So a week from Sunday, so if you are interested in that, let me know. You don't have to let me know tonight. You can let me know on Sunday, or let me know in a text. Or we'll probably have pizza and drinks. Everybody like pizza? I do. We'll have pizza. And so we'll eat. And if you need a babysitter, let me know, and we could arrange that in the nursery. That way it'd just be the adults, and we can just talk freely. Don't have to worry about taking care of those things. So anyway, continue to pray for your leadership, if you will, fellow members. Our Awana, hopefully we'll get cranked up here middle of August. I got an email today from the volleyball supervisor of the state, and he said, or our association, and he said, no clinics, no workshops, nothing indefinitely. So what does that mean? That means that there could be the possibility of no fall sports this year. So there's no fall sports, and that means that possibly there may be only online learning for public schools. So all of that is still up in the air. Hopefully we'll have Awana cranking up here in the middle of August. So hopefully we'll have all that. We do need in Sunday school. Let me throw this out, and I'll put it in tomorrow's email. But we do need a middle school Sunday school teacher, and we also need a children's Sunday school teacher. It could be a couple. It could be two ladies. It could be two men. I'd rather with the children, the small children, it would be a couple or two ladies. But we do need a Sunday school class for the two ladies. And then we're going to crank back up with our nursery, of staffing our nursery with volunteers in the middle of August, right around the same time that school is cranking back up. So we'll be needing nursery workers, and we'll be starting all that back up. So we need a middle school teacher, and then we also need children's Sunday school teachers. And then our other ministries as well, as you can take a look there. So we have those that are lost, and so let's pray that the Lord will draw them unto Himself. They will come to know the Lord. And then we have so many on our prayer sheet that that are in need of healing. And let me remind you, this is how I pray for all of these on our prayer sheet that are in need of healing. I pray first and foremost, I pray for spiritual healing, but also physical healing. And then also pray for those that are having surgeries, recovering from surgeries, and then those that are going through treatments such as chemo, radiation, rehabilitation. I pray for that. And then also pray for their family, because the individual that is sick is just not the only one that's affected. Okay, Sean and I got to know that very well with my shoulder surgeries and with all the going back and forth to Chapel Hill, where I was put on restrictions from driving. So Sean had to drive, take off from work, and so it could be a very stressful time for the family, and also the finances. The finances can really begin to become burdensome as you get bills and all of those things. So really pray in those areas. So Audrey, if you would give us an update on Jeff, and I'm going to have to repeat it what you're saying so that those that are watching can hear what you're saying. So if you would just give us an update on how Jeff is doing. Okay, but they removed the catheter, and then they removed the staples. Right? Okay. So he's maintaining, doing well. His spirits are good. And so we praise the Lord for that. And so, and just in case y'all need to know this, there's a certain individual in this room that got his driver's license today. He is to let me know when he is on the road. So when he lets me know that he is on the road, I will send out a mass text to all of you that Dylan Hill is on the prowl. All right. So that way you can stay away. He is to let me know his route. Okay. And so you know, that way you can stay away from his the area that he is driving. All right. We're proud of you, buddy. That's a huge step. I was going through some stuff the other day, and I found my first driver's license. My hair was down to here in my eyes, you know, and didn't have a mustache. But, yeah, it was like, oh, my goodness, that's me. But anyway, pray for those with health concerns. Jody is still, even though she was here Sunday morning, she is still having some soreness and things with the sinus surgery that she had to have done, so let's continue to pray for her. Tom, do you have a date on when they're going to remove the skin cancer? Okay. 21st? Okay. I'll just put Tuesday. All right. You might want to check the date there, you know. Cause... Okay, all right. 21st? Okay, all right. They don't foresee any problems or anything, do they? No, it's just a matter of just kind of cutting it out. Okay, all right. All right. Yeah, put on that sunscreen, all right. And then we've got a wedding coming up on July the 11th here at the church. So Joel and Yara are going to be getting married. And so that's going to be an exciting time for them. So pray for them during these last, wow, it's going to be a week as preparing and all of those things. So it can get a little stressful. And so pray for them that everything will come together and that it will be just a wonderful day for them. Is everybody invited? Don't look at each other. You'll have to ask. Okay, all right. Am I invited? Yeah. I'm expected. Okay, all right. Okay, I'm expected to be here. Yeah. I know you're looking right at her. Yeah, you're learning, buddy. Yep, that's it. Check with her. Yeah, so, all right. Well, congratulations, guys. We're excited for you. All right. Does anybody have any updates or anything on those with sicknesses or illness? Anybody have any updates? Sean? For lupus. Okay. Oh, wow. So he still had... All right. So that is John Hopper. That is on our prayer sheet, just above, it's in between Agnes Turlington, Helena Sayer, has arthritis and now is tested positive for lupus. So let's really pray for him. That can be a very difficult thing. That is Sean's brother's, her youngest brother, that is his father-in-law, lives up in Middletown, New York. All right, anything else tonight? Yes. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, do you praise the Lord that his seizures are decreasing? That's awesome. What's that again? Yeah. Okay. All right. Seems like he's more alert.
Yeah.
Right. I remember, in fact, I was thinking about this the other day. I was gone. I was on vacation the first Sunday you guys came. And I think both you guys and Jen filled out a visitor's card. You didn't put it on your visitor's card, but Jen did, about the seizures. Yeah, so anyway, yeah. All right. Pray for those for general. Any other health issues? Pastor Ken, you had your hand raised. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. That is Winfield Wallace. Had neck surgery. Yeah, and lives in Montana. Wallace. All right. So let's pray for him, if you will. All right, those are general needs. Let's continue to pray for Gerald as he travels. He told me he's going to have a busy weekend because he's kind of picking up the slack for those that's taken off this weekend. So he's going to have a busy weekend. And then, as I mentioned earlier about the upcoming school year, just still a lot of decisions have to be made there. I watched the governor's press conference this afternoon and I think they're still up in arms about really what direction to go. And then for Chris and Jamie with foster, and then hopefully that will lead to an adoption. And then once again, continue to pray for the COVID-19 task force. And then our government leaders, let's continue to pray for them, and our missionaries, those in the military. And our missionary this week is Aaron and Alicia Cruz, and they are with Awake America, and that is reaching the politicians that are in Washington, D.C., with the gospel and the pages and all those that work there in the offices. And I'm sure they're not able to get out and get into the buildings or anything because everything is still on lockdown up there as well. Let's really pray for them. All right, anything else tonight? Yes. Okay. All right, so we have a lot of people traveling. Now, is Taylor driving or flying? She's driving. All right. You got a fun time playing for them? No? All right, Mike?
Yes, my dad.
Okay. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. How's your stepmom doing? Oh, that's your grandmother that broke her kneecap. Okay. Yeah, good. Yes, Sean? Okay. Yep. Yvonne's, was it her mother's sister that passed away? So it would be Yvonne's aunt that passed away. And then Casey had braces put on yesterday, and she's really sore. Her mouth is really sore from all that. So that can be tough. All right, anything else? All right, Chris. Now, they can't hear you, so you're going to have to come up here. I know you got shorts on, but that's all right. Just stand behind the pulpit. All right? And lead us in prayer, if you will.
Father, we thank you for the ability to come together tonight as a body of believers, to hear your word taught, to come into your presence. Lord, we have so many on our prayer list tonight with illnesses and surgeries. Lord, we ask that you watch over them as they go through their surgery, as they recover from surgeries. Lord, we ask that you be with their family as they care for those who have just gone through surgery. Lord, we ask that you watch over those who are sick, that you bring them spiritual healing as well as physical healing. Lord, we pray for our upcoming Awana season. We ask that you bring us many kids, that you fill this church with children this Awana year. Lord, we also pray for our government leaders, the COVID-19 task force. Lord, we ask that you watch over our missionaries up in the D.C. area, that they are able to hopefully get out and reach those who are in our government with the gospel. Lord, we ask that you watch over our military as they train both here and abroad, as they're deployed around the world. Lord, we ask that you keep them safe, that you be with their families also. And Lord, we pray for our church. We pray for numerical growth and spiritual growth and financial growth. Lord, we ask that you bring us visitors regularly. We ask that you bring us people who want to consider membership, Lord, and that they become faithful members of our church. And Lord, we just ask that you bless the service tonight, that you be with Pastor Dwayne as he teaches us tonight, Lord, and you give us open hearts and open ears to hear your word. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Chris. All right. So take your Bibles, if you will. Oh, I forgot one more thing. I want to give you a little update on Noel. Noel will be having an appointment with a rheumatologist tomorrow. Is it the rheumatologist tomorrow? Okay. About her rheumatoid arthritis that is attacking her lungs. And they are very fortunate to be able to get in as quick as they have. So that itself is an answer to prayer. But also, I want to thank everyone that has taken meals to them this week, reached out to them, and that is very encouraging to her, you know, that so many people have reached out. So thank you to all of you that that are doing that. All right, Galatians chapter 6. Let's look at verses 1 through 5. Tonight, we're going to talk about how love makes the burden light. Of how love makes the burden light. I'm going to go ahead and read the text, and then we'll, as we always do, be going back and looking at each one verse by verse tonight. So let's read verses 1 through 5. It says, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass," okay, in any trespass or any sin, fault, failure, "you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load," or his own burden, as it says in the King James. "The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him." So the first point that I want us to look at tonight is love enough to restore. Love enough to restore. Christians are the worst when it comes to helping fellow Christians be restored. Christians are the first that when someone falls, someone sins. Now, I want you to notice here at the text, it says, is caught in any trespass. Okay, in any sin. We are so quick to throw stones and to kick the one that is down rather than to lift them up. But the Apostle Paul says here, brethren. Now notice that word, brethren. Okay, that is a term of endearment. It is a word that is used to show love towards others. Okay, brother. Okay, love. When you're talking to a fellow brother in Christ, and we don't do it as much now. I remember when I was a kid, every male member called the other male member brother, and every female called the other female sister, or even the males called the female sister, and the females called the men brother. It was just common. That's just the way it was done. But I don't hear that used much anymore. Okay, but it was always Brother Chris or Brother Ken or Brother Joel or Sister Faye or Sister Diana. Yes, sir, Pastor Ken. It is. It's a sign of respect. Yes. So love prompts here. What does it prompt? It prompts to restore the fallen, to help the hurting, and to lift up the one that has sinned. Okay, you get that? So love prompts to help the hurting, to lift the fallen, to lift the one. And we see it so much now in social media. You know, when a prominent pastor, a prominent Christian leader falls from grace, and, you know, social media is so quick to expose that person and to make comments and to say things that really is just don't need to be said. That is something that needs to be dealt with within the church. But Paul challenges the Galatians that we are to love enough to restore a sinning brother. Now, how can we restore a sinning brother? Or restore a sinning sister? Well, who has the Apostle Paul been disputing here throughout this entire book of Galatians? He's been disputing with the Judaizers. What would the Judaizers say to a person that has sinned? You need to keep the law better. Okay, you need to work harder to keep the law. Is there any amount of self-effort that we could ever do to keep the law? No, there's not. Okay, we can't. So what was the law designed for? The law is designed to point out sin, but it cannot take care of the problem of sin. What takes care of the problem? Confession, repentance, believing the gospel. Believing in the forgiveness of Christ. So let's look at verse 1. Okay? We're going to go a little bit in depth here just in verse 1. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual. Okay, now who is a spiritual person? Let's define that. Okay, words matter, right? Definitions matter. Context matters. So what is meant here by the term you who are spiritual? Okay, it could be the leadership of the church to help restore. But it needs to, does it need to be a new believer? Someone who's just recently born again? No. It needs to be someone that has been a believer for quite a while. And I do not believe that it needs to be a, let's say it is a young male that has sinned. I think that it needs to be an older male that helps restore that younger male. What's that? Father figure, yes. Someone like a mentor. But also with women. Okay? Because it says in God's Word, it says that let the older women teach the younger women. So I believe it needs to be an older woman. Now, it doesn't have to. Now, when I'm saying older, such as maybe there is an issue in a marriage. I don't think it needs to be a newlywed trying to help out another newlywed. I think it needs to be a couple or an individual that has been married for a number of years that helps another couple overcome the obstacles that are in the marriage. So I want you to notice another word, and that is the word gentleness. Gentleness. I think in the King James it has the word meekness. Why is meekness or why is gentleness so important when restoring a fallen brother or sister? Why is gentleness so important? Because it shows compassion on the part of the one that is working with the fallen to help them to be restored. Okay, look, the person already knows they've sinned. They have already been confronted. They have already been dealt with. Perhaps maybe church discipline has already been performed, and now the church discipline has been done. They were met with one-on-one, and they were met with by two or three. Then they were voted out of the church and everybody shunned them, which is biblical. The reason for church discipline is to draw them back into the church. So they have been publicly voted out of the church. They're out of the church for a while, but then they realize, I need the church. I need to get back into church. So they come back to me as pastor, or they go to Pastor Ken and say, I need to get back into church. So then Pastor Ken, or maybe a deacon, brings that individual to me and says, so-and-so wants to get back into church. So then I ask questions. I ask hard questions. Well, have you confessed that sin? Have you repented from that sin? Are you pursuing holiness? Are you pursuing spiritual growth? Will you stand before the church and ask the church's forgiveness? And ask the church to help you in your restoration? Okay. So when that person comes, do we need to say, no, we voted you out, you're done? What kind of compassion are we showing? We're not showing any compassion at all. In fact, we're doing the opposite of what we're told to do here. So what are the fruits of the Spirit? What's the very first one? Love. There is love. There is long-suffering. There is gentleness. And there is goodness. We need to remember this, that helping a brother or sister in Christ to be restored, it takes work on the part of the one that is helping with the restoration. It takes work. It takes prayer. It takes effort. It also takes risk. Now let's continue reading this rest of this verse. It takes risk. You are risking yourself. You are putting yourself. Let's say you are the restorer. You're helping the one that needs to be restored. You're helping them. You're meeting with them. You're meeting with them weekly. You're texting them. You're calling them. You are praying with them. You are meeting after church, or you're meeting for coffee, and you're having an accountability time with one another. Well, it says here at the end here of this verse, it says, each one looking to yourself. Why do you need to look to yourself? Well, it answers that so that you too will not be tempted. Because so many times what happens is this. The person who is doing the restoration, many times, yes, they're taking a risk that this person will not listen to the advice, will not show up for their accountability time, will not answer the text, will not do anything of those things. So you're putting a risk there, but you're also putting yourself at risk that you might be tempted with the same sin that they committed that resulted in them having to be restored. So the Apostle Paul is saying that you need to be careful. Look to yourself so that you will not. And let me paraphrase what Paul is saying here. Okay? Paul is saying the same boundaries that you are telling this person they need to put around themselves, you need to do the same thing to you and take more caution. Take more effort in making sure that you are protected. So you could be tempted to sin. You could become careless and you could fall into the same sin yourself. So when a brother sins, this fellow Christian should not pounce on him in criticism, rejection, but should seek to restore him. So now let's look at verse 2, and the second thing is we need to love enough to support. Love enough to support. Let's look at verse 2. Bear one another's burdens. Okay? Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Okay? Now, Christian liberty provides the freedom to choose to do what pleases God. Okay, we've talked about that at length as we've been going through this book. But it also includes the bearing of one another's burdens. Now notice, is that singular or is that plural? It's plural. More than one. Now how do we bear someone's burdens? Perhaps they need a meal like Nolan and his brewer need. Okay? So you take him a meal. That is helping to bear a burden. Okay, so you bear one another's burdens. And Paul does not specify what the burdens are. This is general language here, but it could apply to many situations. Okay, helping a shut-in that has a yard mow their lawn. Okay, clean their house. Pay a bill. Provide a meal. Just sit with them. Read to them. Okay? Do the little things that you think that, well, that's not really important. But to them, it's important. It's very important. Just to have somebody come and sit. Spend time. Listen. Because we need to understand that life itself can wear one down very quickly, right? Life itself can wear one down very quickly. We are to function as one body of believers. So let me ask three questions here. I'm not going to ask for you to answer them. I want you to think about them. The first question is this. Do you think that many times one reason why people do not seek to help a fellow brother or sister in Christ to be restored is because of the busyness of life? I would think that's a major obstacle. We're just too busy. Well, I wish I could, but I'm just too busy. What does that indicate? Well, it indicates two things. Number one, that life is busy, but for someone that really, you know, Paul is saying here, brethren, you love one another. He's also indicating something else here. He's indicating that life many times is focused on self and not focused on helping others. The next question is this. Why might believers be slow to admit burdens? Now that's the tough one. Why is it sometimes difficult for a believer in the body of Christ, okay, that when a fellow brother or sister in Christ goes to them privately and says, hey, I know you're going through a tough time right now. What can I do to help? What do 99% of the answers, what are they? Oh, I'm fine. I'm good. Got it covered. Good. Yeah, they're embarrassed. You know what that's called? P-R-I-D-E. It's pride. And you know what we need to do? And I was guilty of this when I had my shoulder surgery. I'd have somebody call or text me, is everything okay? Yep, everything's fine. You know, my nose kept growing and growing and growing and growing. Okay, so... But unless Audrey called and then I said, yes, I want a banana split cake. And then I got it. All right. But, you know, we just need to be honest, folks. We need to be honest. If there's a need and someone asks, hey, how can I help? If you need your yard cut, call Dylan. He'll go do it. He's dying to get out with his new driver's license and go cut somebody's grass. Okay, let somebody know what you need. If it's a financial need, that's why we have the benevolent fund. It's not to sit there in the bank and gain interest. It's to help out those in our church that have a need, that have been out of work because of sickness or illness or laid off because of COVID or whatever the case may be, and they need some bills to be paid. They need their power kept back on. They need a battery for their car, and they can't afford a battery for their car. Okay, such as in the case with one of our members a few months ago. Well, we can go down to O'Reilly's and buy a battery, and we can get it in your car. We can take it out of benevolent fund. Okay, that's why we have it, is to help bear one another's burdens. So let me ask another question. How might believers learn to share their burdens? How might believers learn to share their burdens? I want to give you a couple of examples here. First thing is this, by having believers model it. Okay? Having believers model it. How do you do that? Well, just be honest. Okay, during prayer time. And I ask, or I, you know, we ask in prayer time, hey, how's your husband doing? How's your wife doing? How's your mother doing? Oh, they're doing fine. Well, in reality, you know, they're not doing fine. Just say it. We're struggling. We're hurting. Life is difficult right now. And don't be embarrassed to own up to it. Just say, look, church, I could really need your prayers right now. Okay? Just tonight, I got a text from Noel Brewer. She is struggling. Sean got a phone call from Noel on Sunday. She is struggling. She is struggling with her own health. She is struggling with Ennis. She is struggling. And so, to go to their house and take a barbecue sandwich, or to take a chicken pot pie from KFC, or to make a meal at home and to take it to their house and sit at their table and just sit and talk and fellowship for an hour means the world to them and means the world to others when you just simply take the time to go to their home and sit for 30 minutes and talk. People have burdens. People are hurting. That goes to number three, and that is love enough to work. Love enough to work. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work. And then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. Okay? So, I want you to write these two words. Action and attitude. Action and attitude. Why those two words? To help a brother or sister in Christ to bear their burden, it takes action. This goes to James. James said that I have faith. You have faith? Okay, good for you. Congratulations, you got faith. But you can say, I have faith all day long. And then he uses the illustrations of the demons, where he says, and the demons believe too. And they tremble. But I have my faith, and I will prove my faith by my works. It takes actions. Okay? So, going to someone's home with a lawnmower. Say, look, I'm going to cut your grass for you. Okay, I remember I was at a conference a number of years ago, and I was in a session, and the pastor that was putting on the session talked about how they chose deacons and the jobs of the deacon in the church. And the first job that when a person, a man, is voted on as a deacon board, he is given the list of the widows that he is to take care of. You get that? He is given a list of the widows in the church that he is to take care of. And guess how he was told to take care of them? Cut their grass. Yep. Take their car if they're still driving to get their oil changed. Get their tires rotated. Make sure their bills were paid. Okay? If there is a need, you made sure that the pastor and the elders of the church knew of the need so that the church could take care of it. Okay? In fact, he had one of the deacons stand up, and this deacon said, "Wow," he said, "I thought when I got chosen to be the deacon at this great big 5,000-member church, I thought, man, I am in. But then I got the list of five widows in the church, and every one of them I had to cut their grass." He said, "You talk about humbling." He said, "I got humbled real quick." See, it also takes the right kind of attitude. To humble yourself enough to go to a widow's house and cut their grass. To go to someone's house and clean your bathroom. To help a individual that can no longer get around and help them to get back and forth to the bathroom. To sit and listen. To sit and pray. Sit and read. Read Scripture to them. Paul addresses here and he is focusing on their attitude. See, genuine Christian life will work. It just doesn't talk about helping. It actually does the work. But now Paul tells here in verse 3 that the restorer needs to be very careful with something. And that is by not allowing pride to come into their life. Not allowing pride. In other words, that when you are restoring someone, you don't put yourself in the ivory tower and look down on that person that needs to be restored. That's pride. By looking down on them and saying, and in your mind thinking, well, that's never going to happen to me. But see, that's exactly the kind of attitude that Paul is talking about here. That is exactly why Paul is saying you need to put up boundaries around yourself too. In fact, you need to take extra care in your life so that the same thing won't happen to you that has happened to that person that you are restoring. But see, what many times happens is pride, conceit, comparing themselves with others. And that's exactly what you're doing when you are looking down on that person that needs to be restored, is you are comparing yourself to that person. And see, believers who are competitive often relish in the defeat, the spiritual defeat of others. And that's pride. So we need to conduct a humble examination. Conduct a humble examination. Look at verse 4. It says, "But each one must examine his own work." Your own life. Examine your own life. Okay, before you begin to restore a fellow brother or sister in Christ, examine your own heart. Examine your own life. You take time to confess sin. You make sure in your own life that you are pursuing holiness and pursuing godliness, that you are being faithful to the Lord. See, Christianity has no room for pride. There's no room. So Paul here is challenging the Galatians in verse 4. He is saying, instead of thinking that you are better than others, evaluate your own life based on God's standards. And when you base your own life on God's standards, you will find out very quickly that you are a fallen, sinful human being that could do, that has the capacity to do exactly what that person has done that needs to be restored. And that type of self-examination enables a Christian to develop the necessary attitude to help someone else. And if he is strong and confident in his own Christian life, then he or she can help a brother or sister in need. Now let me give you letter B very quickly. So we need to have a humble examination. The next thing is this, we need to shoulder a personal responsibility. Okay, let's look at verse 5 where it says, "For each one will bear his own burden." The New American Standard has here, "Each one will bear his own load." Okay, in verse 2 we see bear one another's burdens. And then in verse 5, "Every man shall bear his own burden." Singular. Now let me explain to you the Greek meaning behind the word burden. Okay, the word burden refers to a heavy weight. In verse 2, it is a heavy weight that unexpectedly crushes someone. It is a problem that that individual cannot carry by themselves. So he needs another spiritual brother or sister in Christ to come beside him to restore him and support him. But the word in verse 5 is different. It talks about an individual burden, such as a backpack. It comes from a soldier term, talking about a backpack. When I go out to the Kafir River Trail to do my long runs, or even in my neighborhood and going down Elk Road or going down Legion, especially on Saturday mornings, I see soldiers out. They have shorts, they have t-shirts, but they have their boots, their socks, and they got a, what do you call them? Rucksack, yeah, on their back. Yeah, and they're just to getting it. Okay? Now who's bearing that burden? They are. So Paul is saying here that the burden for which each believer is responsible is Christ's call to follow Him as His disciple. So I want you to look at this slide here. So the first one is talking about my burdens. Okay? What are some responsibilities here that the Lord has entrusted to every believer? So these are my burdens. These are my burdens that I have to carry in my rucksack. The first one is this. We need to witness. Okay? Listen. Witnessing is not an option. Okay? When Christ gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20, He did not say, consider witnessing. He did not say, pray about it. He did not say, think about it. He said, do it. Now, those of us that are parents in here and we tell our children, go clean your room, is that a command or is that an option? Okay? Now, we raised two at our house. I never went to Bradley and Morgan and said, you know, your room is a little messy and I would really appreciate it if you would think about going and cleaning your room. Yeah. Will you pray about it? Will you fast? Now, that room would have never gotten cleaned. Because I gave them a way out. But if I said, Bradley, you've got 30 minutes to go clean that room. And if it's not cleaned in 30 minutes, the wrath of Dad will be upon you. Guess what happened within 30 minutes? That room got cleaned. Same thing with Morgan. Okay? It's a command. It's not an option. We are commanded to witness. We're commanded to invite people to come to know the Lord. We are commanded to go to the highways and the byways. So witnessing. How about this one? Edifying other believers. What does it mean to edify? Means to encourage. Just simply encouraging. Okay, who in here does not have a cell phone? Who in here does not have texting capability on their cell phone? Does anybody have texting capability? Everybody does. You have texting. Okay, let me ask you this. How long does it take to text a fellow brother or sister in Christ and say these words, I am praying for you. Or, how can I pray for you? I did something stupid the other day. Sean called me on it today. Okay? I am the first person that when I send somebody a text and they come to me and they say, hey, Pastor, do you need for me to do this? Well, didn't you read your text? Well, yeah, I saw what you texted me, but I didn't read it all the way. Well, there you go. Well, I'm out putting out door hangers. What's today, Wednesday? So yesterday morning, I'm out putting out door hangers. And Yvonne McKenna texted Sean and I. Well, the day before, she texted us that her aunt had died. So all I see is, please continue to pray for my family. Well, I looked at my phone. Okay, that must be about her aunt. Okay, so I texted real quick. Yes, I'm praying for, continuing to pray for your family in this time of need. Put my phone up. Well, this morning, Sean says, did you read Yvonne's text? I said, yeah. She goes, well, it was about Casey having braces put on. Oh. Okay, so then what did I have to do this morning? Dummy me, didn't read the text. Because then she shot a picture later of Casey with her new braces. And I was like, oh my. I said, you know, she's, what did I say? She's growing up or something like that. So then that kind of triggers something. Well, Dwayne didn't read the text. Okay, how much of an effort does it take to text somebody and just say, how can I help you? How can I pray for you? I missed you at church today. Should that always be on me? That should be on all of us, right? That should be on every one of us. Every one of you in here should have access to the directory. So bring it up. Text them. Let them know that you miss them. What are some other ones? Well, serving. Witnessing. Edifying others. Serving. Serving others. Taking a meal to them. Making a dessert. Okay, doing the little things, buying a card and putting a $5 bill in it and say, hey, here's a cup of coffee on me. Okay, just the little things like that mean so much to people. Yes, sir.
Our slogan for Above Living Water is see a need, meet a need.
Yeah, see the need, meet a need. That's exactly right. So witnessing, edifying others, serving. How about fellowshipping? Fellowshipping. Look, we need fellowship. Okay, why do I still have Sunday night church when everybody else is dropping it? Because I need fellowship. You need fellowship. That is just one more opportunity that I have to help you defeat the world. The world has you all week. Only have you 3 out 4 hours a week if you come to all four. Fellowshipping, worshiping God. Okay, so how are the burdens lifted? What are the burdens lifted? Well, guilt. The guilt of not being faithful. The guilt of not walking with the Lord like we should. How about fear? Guilt, fear, pain, loneliness, anxiety. See, when you serve others, when you reach out to others, who do you forget about? Yourself. You forget about yourself. You're having a bad day? Let me encourage you. You're having a bad day? Stop at McDonald's. Buy a gift card. Or Chick-fil-A. Buy a gift card. Stop at Dollar General. Buy a dollar card. Put a stamp on it, mail it to somebody. Me. Okay? But do the little things like that. Little things like that will take the attention off of you and put the attention on someone else. So what can we learn from this? Well, very, very easily. We need to prepare to help bear others' burdens. To prepare to help others' burdens. All right, let's pray. Father God, help us, Lord, to fulfill the law of Christ by bearing other people's burdens, to live a godly life and help others to shoulder their responsibility. To fulfill those responsibilities, it requires a commitment, it requires compassion, it requires love. And Father, help us. Father, I pray that you would dismiss us with thy blessing. I pray for those that are not here tonight because of traveling or perhaps just not feeling well. And Father, we pray that you would just help them in their traveling. Help those that will be traveling here. We pray for their safety. And Father, I pray that you would just help those once again that are on our prayer sheet that we are praying for to recover from illness and surgeries, upcoming doctor's appointments and treatments. We pray for all of them as well. And Father, as we prepare for this upcoming Lord's Day, I pray, Father, that you would use this upcoming Lord's Day to first and foremost to bring glory to you, but also to draw us closer to you in our walk with you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, have a great week, and we'll see you, hopefully. We'll see you all back here Sunday morning.